Let's turn in God's Word to Jude, the letter of Jude. And in Jude, we will be reading verses 1 through 25, the whole letter to the saints, which includes ourselves. So Jude, beginning in verse 1, these are the words of the Lord. Jude, a bondservant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to those who are called, sanctified by God the Father, and preserved in Jesus Christ, mercy, peace, and love be multiplied to you. Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. For certain men have crept in unnoticed, who long ago were marked out for this condemnation, ungodly men who turn the grace of our God into lewdness and deny the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. But I want to remind you, though you once knew this, that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed those who did not believe, and the angels who did not keep their proper domain but left their own abode, he has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness for the judgment of the great day, as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them in a similar manner to these, having given themselves over to sexual immorality and gone after strange flesh, are set forth as an example suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Likewise also, these dreamers defile the flesh, reject authority, and speak evil of dignitaries. Yet Michael, the archangel, in contending with the devil when he disputed about the body of Moses, dared not bring against him a reviling accusation, but said, "The Lord rebuke you." But these speak evil of whatever they do not know, and whatever they know naturally, like brute beasts, and these things they corrupt themselves. Woe to them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, have run greedily in the air of Balaam for profit, and perished in the rebellion of Korah. These are spots in your love feasts, while they feast with you without fear, serving only themselves. They are clouds without water, carried about by the winds, late autumn trees without fruit, twice dead, pulled up by the roots, raging waves of the sea, foaming up their own shame, wandering stars for whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. Now Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about these men also, saying, "Behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment on all, to convict all who are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have committed in an ungodly way, and of all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against them. These are grumblers, complainers, walking according to their own lusts, and they mouth great swelling words, flattering people and to gain advantage. But you, beloved, remember the words which were spoken before by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how they told you that there would be mockers in the last time who would walk according to their own ungodly lusts. These are sensual persons who cause divisions, not having the Spirit. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And on some have compassion, making a distinction, but others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment defiled by the flesh. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power both now and forever. Amen." Those are God's words. Jude is writing this letter. He is the half-brother of Jesus. He's writing this to the church, to those who are called, verse 3. And he wanted to write about, it says, the unity of the faith. But this letter is actually a call that God's people contend for the faith that was once delivered. And why is that? Verse 4. Because, as you see throughout the whole passage, there are false teachers who have crept into the church. And yes, we have them still today. These are vessels of wrath who deny the gospel and deny the truth and teach false perversities. Verses 5 through 7 give three examples for us, the church, to not follow after, such as false teachers, such false teachers, that though you be in the church, do not follow in the way of the wicked and turn away from the Lord like the first generation of Israel, like the fallen angels, and like Sodom and Gomorrah. They are the same, verses 8 through 10, as these false teachers who must be rebuked by the Lord through His Word. And their end is the judgment. Notice the wording, the blackness of darkness, to the judgment. That's verses 11 through 15. And then through verse 19, we're given more of what these false teachers are like. They're seducers, always grumbling, complaining, doing their own pleasures, great at speaking. They flatter with the tongue. But what we are to remember is the Word of God, that in the time, the last time, which is implied here now, in Judas' time and in, until now, this is the last time, or even call it the last days, there are mockers and seducers who cause divisions in the church, not having the Spirit of Jesus Christ. We need to be watchful. We need to know and be guarded by the Word of Christ. And therefore, beloved, persevere in the faith. Be fervent in prayer, he says. Watch and guard yourself from turning from loving the Lord. Keep coming back to Him daily. Keep coming back to Him, even in public worship, like we've been encouraged the last few Lord's days in the call to worship. Verse 22, how do we interact with those in error or in sin? It says, very clearly to us. Excuse me. And on some have compassion, making a distinction, but others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment defiled by the flesh. Beloved, work to rebuke in hopes that they will turn to Christ. Show mercy to them, but in showing godly mercy, do not leave yourself unguarded. And that is an important point in that. When you show mercy, do not leave yourself unguarded. Protect yourself in the truth, which is the Word of God. And the last verses then is the blessing, the doxology of the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we live in a world in which there is much evil, but in the church, there is much evil. There are men, even women, who come in, who creep in unnoticed, who are really good at talking and being liked through their words, being convincing, sounding, and that are really ravenous wolves, destroying and causing divisions in the body of Christ. They come amongst us at times, and they seek to put a divide between us, usually on some doctrine or upon some person in the church. We've seen it in the history of our congregation many years ago, even before I came. And attacks came from the body. I believe even one of the officers of the church against the pastor and another elder. Father, it comes in and there is division and people left because of that. If we read through in the history of our congregation in the minutes of session. Father, we are not beyond or above this to happen to us. And so make us to know your word. Make us humble enough and yet bold enough in your word to proclaim it and stop heresies and false teachings, especially among the elders of the church who are here as your under shepherds under the head of the church, Jesus Christ. Father, as we consider this evening in 2 Chronicles, the need for the church to reform, we see the many ways in which the church has turned aside because of false teachers and the way of the doctrines of salvation and the doctrines of the end times, which then is used to change how we interpret the very word of God. And that has caused people to fall victim to bad theology upon bad theology. And bad, not understanding what your word truly says, because they are in some ways have a veil over themselves, over their eyes to see the truth. Father, we ask that you would release them from that cloud or veil, and you would bring them to a knowledge of the truth. Father, please permit it. Father, there are issues of turning in the church, of the Sabbath day, the Lord's day, the fourth commandment, also in worship, probably the two greatest ways the church has failed and needs reformation in our nation. But also there are other gods that have been lifted up, and the very way we speak, even, needs to be changed. For we love to speak as the world speaks. But Father, we do not speak as you do, and we've bought into the way of speaking of the world. And we joke around about your word. We joke around about things taught in your word. And we make biblical jokes and humor out of the things of God. And of course, there is struggles in the church where we have exalted pastors or elders or men, even husbands, who abuse their wives. And we ignore those abuses and do not do them. That's what's happening in our church today. Or even those who, in our Presbyterian circles, are covered by fellow elders because we wouldn't want to hurt a pastor's feelings, even though he has done great harm to the church and to perhaps even his family or other families. All in the name of keeping peace. Father, we ask that you would forgive the church and bring a great reformation to her, and you would cause the divisions to be cast out, though we know that we will have them in these last times. Father, we ask that you would build us up and strengthen us today, that there would be no divisions amongst us and amongst the bodies of the church that meet together and speak together and pray together. But rather, you would give us unity, which we know only comes in accordance with the truth. And so, Father, grant us a sanctifying of our doctrine and our beliefs, our faith, even the faith once delivered, and make us to love you. Above all things, may Christ be the King of our lives, in our hearts, not just in reality, but in our hearts, that we would submit to Him in all things. And Father, we do pray for our nation. What a wicked nation we live in. And as we hear your word this evening, may you continue molding us according to how we ought to look at our nation and how we ought to bring reform to our nation. Father, save your people, your elect. May they even be amongst the government that rules over us, that they would love you and bow the knee to you, that they would, that the people would not be king over America, but that Christ would be king. For now it is, even in our Constitution, it's we the people who are king. And that is false. Father, help us all in our nation to acknowledge that Christ is king and bring that about at the right time. For we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.